10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino. Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Sheriff Nanos went on the Today Show this week and told America investigators are definitely closer. He said he personally believes Nancy is alive. The FBI has moved its command center from Tucson to Phoenix. The task force has scaled down from a mass resource operation to a dedicated homicide and FBI team. Jen Coffendaffer, who knows what FBI investigations look like from the inside, told Newsweek this week that this case is the polar opposite of cold. And what do you know? Jennifer Coffendaffer is joining myself and Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent. We got two FBI special agents retired with us today to break this down from both different worlds of the FBI. Jen, I want to start with what you're talking about here. Were you saying it's the opposite of a cold case here? This thing is red hot, I believe, is what you said. Give me some insight here, because, I mean, to a lot of us on the outside looking at this, we're going, Is it red hot? I mean, what? Tell me what you mean. What's going on here?
This is what I mean. I think it's important to first understand the definition of a cold case. A cold case is leads that have absolutely no end. They've already been run to ground. There's nothing new coming in. There is nothing for investigators to do anymore, because everything we know about is done. So it's a rotten, dead, cold, yucky end. It's put on a shelf until another unit could come along and maybe take a look at it as a cold case. So it's just stacking up there, gaining dust with the rest of cases that are considered cold. This is the opposite of this. Investigators are drinking from a fire hose. There's 30,000 leads that they're still trying to sift through. There's all that footage of the vehicles, which I think is one of the number one things they need to be looking at. And that's not going to be investigators. That's going to be analysts behind the scenes. In other words, that 2:28 time mark, you know, moving probably 15, 20 minutes outside of that. I want to see all that video footage from Circle K's, businesses, residences, street cams, all of that. They've got the DNA they're still trying to make sense of. They have now, it was so funny. I just mentioned they also need to re-canvas, and then they went out and re-canvassed, because it just seems to me they didn't do how you do a canvas right. And how you do a canvas right is you meet with fellow investigators, you write up a list of literally about 30 questions, exhaustive questions, and everyone asks the same questions. And you spend an inordinate amount of time in with those individuals to get answers. I don't think that was done. I think they're redoing it. And then, of course, now we know they're asking about, did you have any Wi-Fi signal issues? Well, that should have been asked day one, because the possibility of them using jammers in a case like this is possible. I still don't think they did. And if they did, they were lousy ones.
Is there a threshold here, a specific type of lead or convergence of information where investigators genuinely feel the walls are closing in on a suspect versus a kind of optimism that comes from just, you know, still having open leads in a situation like this?
Yeah, I think you definitely ask just the right question. There are two different kinds of leads. And one is your more general lead. You got to run these down, but you don't know that it's going to lead anywhere. The other one is one that you think you might already know the solution. I actually heard the best analogy from Greg McCrary. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the difference between having a puzzle. When you get the puzzle in the box, you know you have all the pieces, and you look on the front and that tells you the end. these guys are working on a puzzle that they don't have the picture to draw from. They've got all these pieces and they keep trying and trying and pushing, and then they throw that one out because it doesn't match. So to your point, where are we at? Are they more just trying and, you know, it's trial and error and they don't really have the picture on the front of the box? I'm going to say I think they have a partial picture.
Yeah, and Jen, so out of these 30,000 leads that are coming in, you know, it's voluminous, and yeah, it's red hot because I think it's like in a forge in a fire. You know, they're getting closer to what they really want to focus on because they've got a lot of filters in place. What do you think they're using right now as their main filters to kind of filter out the chaff? I know we got to cover every single lead, but what do you think they're using as their main focus of energy for those filters?
I love this question. So first of all, I think number one, to triage, you have to remove all those leads that are really hypothesis. You wouldn't believe how many calls I've gotten just last week. Unfortunately, people have found my number and they found my email, and they're inundating me. I feel like a mini version of what the FBI is going through. It's unbelievable, but there's a big difference between hypothesis and facts. So to me, what they're getting rid of is they just need to go down to who has specific information like this. I think I recognize porch guy, and I think he could be X. And I think that because of blah, 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 and let them run that down. That's an important lead. Or a neighbor says, I think I saw a blue car 2 weeks ago that doesn't belong in the neighborhood, or how about that white van, whatever it might be. Those are the ones they're getting to, people that actually have direct knowledge of that neighborhood and of that porch guy.
On the vehicle thing, because the vehicle thing has been really something that I've been pondering for a long time. I mean, it's the middle of the night. There's not a lot of traffic going on out there to begin with. So to me, I would think, okay, there are cameras all over the place. To see a handful of vehicles in the general vicinity, this vehicle had to have shown up on people's cameras. We just have to identify which one it is. Why is it that, are they having difficulty doing this? Or is it one of these situations where, yeah, there's a lot of camera identification out there where you can kind of tell a make of a vehicle, but maybe not down to the plate level where it's getting hard to identify exactly who owns X vehicle? What's going on there? Because that seems to me like it could be a gold mine of information. And it's not like 5 o'clock on a Friday where you're trying to decipher the traffic pattern. There's nobody out at that time. It's pretty dead. Why is it seemingly so difficult right now to really hone in on a vehicle of interest in this case?
I think the biggest problem has been this light pollution ordinance. I don't know how far that ordinance spread. I've shared with you before.
Yeah.
West Lake, Texas, take a look at it. That's where I lived, and absolute pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowed floodlights. You're not allowed any light. So even if a Ring camera or a Nest picks it up, unless they have some ambient source of light. And by the way, we do know this was a full moon. So
yeah.
I agree with you, Tony. There is enough, because even in these areas, it's like a flashlight that comes down, the moon does. So I agree with you. What is the problem? I think it's a problem with making out plates and running those vehicles down, even making out the vehicle to get down to make and model. We know that, I mean, at Quantico in Virginia, there's literally a unit that does that. That's all they do. They know everything about cars. Oh, actually, we saw that in the Brian Koberger case, right? That special agent came forward about the vehicle. He was ended up not being broad enough and then later had to go back and make it a little broader. But nevertheless, that's what they do. And apparently they still can't get anything.
Yeah. And even in my neighborhood, I mean, a lot of times these houses we know in Nancy's area are that big pieces of property. They're kind of spread out. And I really wonder, you know, how much a Ring cam on a doorknob is or on the door is going to pick up movement on the street if it's not programmed to do that. Because I turn mine down so it doesn't actually go on the street, so I don't capture every car going back and forth. So I also wonder that. I'm curious also, you know, whether we're talking about cars, or I was really hopeful on Walmart coming through with something too, which we haven't really heard about. Do you think they're hitting any dead ends right now in any of the leads or any of the possibilities that we've earlier thought about and are not really panning out?
Yeah, great question, because the Walmart bag, exclusively made at Walmart and exclusively sold at Walmart, except for possible resale possibilities, that bag, Nanos on the second told NBC, listen, we're looking at third-party vendors possibly. Well, if it's a Goodwill, I could buy that, you know, a thrift shop. I'm not buying that eBay, Pinterest, Mercari, for those of you, and you guys probably don't shop on there, but they, those are places that you look for Lululemon and Athleta and expensive brand names where you could get something that's $300 for $100. And the people selling those, they need to make money. So they're not going to be selling some $10 Walmart used bag.
Yeah.
They don't make any money. So he mentioned online sales. I'm just not buying that you could buy anything like that online. But the idea of a third party maybe being a thrift store, I could see that. So it seems like Walmart is not coming through, Drake. That's what I determined from that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because it's one of those things that Nanos has said that makes me go, is he just randomly saying things out loud that are coming to his head? I mean, I think we've all ran it through our mind of like, well, could they have possibly bought this somewhere other than Walmart, like a thrift store? Maybe, sure. I mean, the odds are more likely Walmart. It looks like it's a $10 bag to begin with. So not that high of a ticket item, not something that's still going to be resold. Usually if that's used, it's gone, it's done. So is that a possibility? Sure. I mean, Nanos has said so many damn things in this, the course of this case, to people that have interviewed him. And it seems that a lot of people will take what he says and then put a lot of weight on those words. Is this one of those moments where we're putting too much weight on his words and his words really don't have anything to back up what's coming out? It's just, well, maybe it's another place. Maybe it was a thrift store. Maybe it was there's really nothing backing it other than maybe Walmart hasn't come through yet saying, yeah, here's a guy with the receipts.
Yeah, you know, that has been a big problem. But nevertheless, I look at it this way, Tony. Who knows the most about this case that is talking?
Yeah. Now,
there's no one else. Anybody else talking, any talking heads that are talking are using their experience plus what is known to make some extrapolations and some hypotheses. But then the photographic evidence, we can look and see a lot of different things in these photos. So that's actually good. But other than that, Nanos knows more than anyone that's talking. And so I think we have to at least listen.
Or does he? I mean, maybe he's just as clueless as everybody else. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like. I mean, he has to have some more knowledge, but does that knowledge actually equate into information that's going to be valuable in finding Nancy? Or is it just, you know, the plethora of information that's coming in from so many different directions? Since we're talking about vehicles, something that keeps getting brought up and thrown out into the ether, so I thought, well, let's address this. Annie Guthrie's vehicle returned to her family this week after being held as evidence. Let's talk about that for a moment. In your experience, when investigators return retained property to people close to the victim, what does that decision signal about where those individuals stand in an investigation? And obviously, yes, they have already been cleared by Nanos.
Right. You know, he says they were cleared. He said that a long time ago. He intimated that even before he gave out the written statement.
Yep.
Why did he even do that? I think it was because Idaho 4 case, you had people being terrorized.
Yeah.
Terrorized online. You have threats coming in. You know, you're trying to keep these people safe as they're going through the worst hardship of their lives. And I think that's why he came out. I don't think it was an emotional come out. Some people say, oh, he was being emotional. Well, I have to say it wasn't written like an FBI agent would write it. But nevertheless, them following up with letting the car loose, which I've called them, and they were great. You know, they let me go right through to the PIO office. I was able to talk to them and they said, we're releasing it. That was a couple of days ago. And so, you know, because they should, they need to,
You know, and the interesting thing with the car is people kept bringing it up and kept saying, you know, the son-in-law, which fits no pattern of son-in-law's behavior whatsoever from the very get-go. And granted, you got to eliminate these people in the inner circle first, because you know, when you're looking at the research and the probabilities, that's where it starts. And then you eliminate and keep moving on. But the interesting thing about the car that people weren't really considering, they looked at it, they have the car because they're a suspect. Not necessarily. If DNA is still the main thing they're hoping for on this one, especially since we have mixed DNA in the house, where are they going to get a lot of DNA from? Her car. So you maintain the possession of that car to get all the DNA you possibly can, so that there's anyone associated with anyone related to the family, that you can eliminate them from the DNA in the house. And so for me, it wasn't holding onto the car because they're suspecting someone in the family. They're holding onto the car so they can get as much DNA out of that car so they can eliminate other DNA found in that house as being related in some way. They're looking for things that are standing out from that arc. And I think because Nancy spent so much time with the daughter and with the son-in-law, they had to make sure they eliminated DNA from the possible suspects and, you know, make that other filter they need. Just a thought. What do you think about it?
No, Robin, I love that. And then I'm going to pony on to that also, is we don't know, and investigators have to figure out whether she was followed from Annie's house and or whether they were laying in wait for her. And there's tracking devices, GPS, slap-ons and things that can be done. You know, I did it to my son, you know, work not only in the bureau, right? The trackers, but it's easy. Whoop, it's there.
Yeah. And there's a lot. Yeah.
And that person could have touched the car. I mean, there was, that's where, what I thought was taking so long is evaluating prints and any evidence that could have been left by somebody who would have been there stalking from that point, which is exactly to your point.
Because some people are thinking, you know, when you get in that negative confirmation bias, you think they're holding on to it because they're waiting to get the thing that's going to break through to get the son-in-law. No, they held on to it longer because they keep getting data from it. And or they're waiting for another return. To your point, I'm heading on the DNA side. But yeah, great observations on the tracking potentially that they could extrapolate from the car's systems as well. And that might have taken some time. So they have to hold on to it and they might have to do follow on. So to me, it was just a data trove, not because of who they're targeting, but because of who they need to eliminate. So they could actually identify what things stood out. Where did it go? Who was tracking it? So yeah, great points.
And real quick, Robin, if I can, Tony, sorry.
Yeah.
Can I pick up that? I've got a case right now, and it involves heavy extraction of vehicle information from the vehicle. And that takes forever. Yeah. You would, all the processes to get the raw raw information and break it down and then to evaluate what you have, because it tells everything, obviously, from stop, start, braking, amount of acceleration, blah, 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 blah. And that would have taken a long time to get that. And to me, they were looking for a pattern. Was it every Sunday night he said he took
this? Yes, 100%.
And, oh, we've got a pattern in place. You know, that's what they were looking for. Everybody wanted them so convicted. And it's amazing and wonderful that the Bureau said, listen, let's just make sure we make sure that they weren't involved. And that's what we did.
Yeah, and also, I'm sorry, Jen and I are going back and forth. You know, as well as, you know, because I looked it up, you know, Nanus's department has a clearance rate of 100%, 12 for 12. It's not a huge amount of homicides in the last year, but it's still a really good rate. So his detectives are very, very skilled at what they do. The other thing, too, just like when at the very onset, I took a look at the pacemaker. And when I did the research on the pacemaker and whether you could get pings on it, everything I found came up, said, no, it doesn't work that way and blah, blah, blah. But lo and behold, they finally did it. So I also think that it took some time potentially because this department might not have faced this kind of extrapolation of data from vehicles before. So it might have taken some time to figure out and innovate how to do that, who to get the right contacts and all that. And so sometimes when you're doing a new or utilizing a new skill set, tool or technique, or even have to develop one on the fly, it takes a little bit more time to do that. So I think a little more grace of time is important when you're looking at the ground truth and not something you saw on Criminal Minds.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the reality is, it takes more time and to have grace with the folks who are trying to utilize the technology to their benefit in the investigation, but while the clock is ticking, I think, and that's the sad, scary part, is no matter what you're doing, no matter how well intentioned, that clock is ticking, and every second that is spent at going down one road or one lane needs to get somewhere, because you don't want to have spent 4 or 5 days or whatever time on something that's not going to get you to where you need to go. So all of those decisions, all of those paths that people are going to go down, that the investigators are going to go down, better be some of the best options to be traveling. Your thoughts in the comments section on our YouTube or our Substack. We'll continue that conversation there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.